We live in a complex world of technology, of instant communication with just about any spot in the world. It's fast moving, and it's all too easy for us to lose track of our roots, our history, our sense of place. Just who were the first people to call Michigan home? Well, welcome Bill Lovis, and we're going to find out as we talk with him. He's a professor and curator of anthropology at Michigan State University. Good to have you with us.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Bill, how many thousands of years do we need to go back to pinpoint when the first people arrived in Michigan?
Well, anywhere between 11 and 12,000 years ago.
And where did they come from?
Well, seeing as how we were under ice before that, they came from the south.
Okay.
Which may sound like an overly simplistic answer, but not really, because Michigan was glaciated by several different so-called lobes of the last glaciation, and they receded variably to the north or the northeast and so forth, and really opened up southern Michigan first.
So they made their way. As the ice melted, they worked their way into Michigan then.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, as the ice receded and melted, there were varying early configurations of the Great Lakes. And they really didn't stabilize in what we would consider to be modern configurations until just a few thousand years ago.
So the lifestyle and the kind of Michigan that they would have known is very, very different from even what we think of it from colonial days.
Well, absolutely. Unless you've run across a mastodon recently, they would have been dealing with a very different environment.
Now, when we hear about European era back then, it was much about stone-tipped spears and making bone and antler tools. Was that much the same with these early Michiganians?
Oh, absolutely. Until Europeans arrived here in the 1600s into the Western Great Lakes, the only metal that was being used was native copper. And that was largely something that was being hammered, you know, after being heated. It wasn't being melted and cast and turned into, you know, very complex kinds of things, but, you know, basic utilitarian things that mimicked some of the bone, antler, and stone tools.
When did they move beyond the hunting that these early settlers did into more farming and trading?
Well, and that's actually a question of degree. We know that they had domestic plants in Michigan, at least in southern Michigan, and particularly in the Saginaw Basin, as early as 4,000 years ago. So we know that they were at least familiar with these kinds of squashes and gourds. They become more prevalent by about 3,000 years ago, and we start to see the introduction of other domestic plants, indigenous domestic plants, coming in about that time. But agriculture itself really doesn't take hold in southern Michigan until probably 1,000 years ago or thereabouts. That's when we start to see the majority of the domestic plant foods, including the larger pieces of corn and corn cob and corn kernels showing up in the archaeological record. We do, however, just to put things in perspective, we do have what we call microbotanicals, that is evidence from things like plant starch or little silica bodies in the plant stems called phytoliths that go back over 2,000 years.
And what does that tell us?
That tells us that they had corn here, but it wasn't maybe being used the same way or as intensively. It probably wasn't a primary food crop. So it was probably being used in other ways. It may have been traded in. It may have been grown and used for ritual purposes. But we don't have a lot of evidence for corn use that early.
We're talking with Bill Lovis, who's a professor and curator of anthropology at Michigan State University, exploring the first people of Michigan, taking us back to really the very beginning of our history as people in Michigan. I'm interested, Bill, if you can give us a sense. When those first Michiganders made it here some 12,000 years ago, as those glaciers were receding, How close was Michigan's terrain to what we're used to today, or was it very different?
Actually, the glacial ice didn't leave Michigan completely, and by Michigan, I'm including the Upper Peninsula mm-hmm. of Michigan, really didn't leave until about 9,000 years ago. So what we had was, first of all, an environment that had ice on it until 9,000 years ago. So if southern Michigan was starting to get deglaciated as recently as 11,000 years ago, what we're looking at is Michigan with some ice, sometimes more, sometimes less, for at least 3,000 years.
And would the forest be heavy as it got deglaciated, or would that have taken time?
That would have taken some time because the glacial fronts were they're rough places to live. They're still cold. They have high winds. As they expose new soils and landscapes, it takes a while for vegetation to establish itself. So they wouldn't have been heavily forested. So it takes several thousand years for that to actually happen. Although, that said, there are a few patches of deciduous woodlands in the more southern parts of the state fairly early on.
Now, what kind of traces do we have of these early Indians, these Paleo Indians?
Well, first of all, congratulations on knowing that they are Paleo Indians. Most people don't even know that term.
Once an archaeology student, always an archaeology
always
student,
an archaeology
Phil.
Student, exactly. It comes in a variety of different forms. Some of it is what we would call direct evidence, very straightforward stuff like stone tools, which, thank goodness, are not easily perishable, so they preserve for extended periods of time. So we have spear tips, we have knives, we have scrapers, we have specialized tools that were used to groove bone, all sorts of things like that. We have what would be considered to be more indirect evidence, potentially things like cut marks on bone. And there is at least one of my colleagues at Ann Arbor who has specialized in looking at mastodon remains to see whether there are traces of Paleo-Indian manipulation of the bone, butchering and cutting and that kind of thing.
Any structures, any burial mounds that could trace back where you could say, yes, that's from those first Michiganders?
Nope. They were not, at least to our knowledge, they were not building mounds until quite a bit later in time. So the earliest inhabitants, no, we're not doing that. In fact, the way to think about this, and it's a little bit difficult for people who live in a modern society to do this, to think about a landscape that doesn't have any buildings, where you're basically living with your mother, your father, your children, maybe some grandparents, maybe a couple of families of you. And you are moving between the different resources by walking across a fairly wet, barren, cold place.
Take us up now to the 1600s when the first Europeans, which we understand to be the French fur traders, come
right
to Michigan. We have certainly are well aware of the impact, mainly not for the good, that the Europeans had on the indigenous societies. What about the other way around? What impact did the indigenous Michiganders have on that budding European society in America?
Well, that's a very interesting question. If you think about the fact that corn and squash and other crops like that were all things that were grown in the Americas and not in Europe until the Europeans got here, they had a big impact on the foodways of the rest of the world. So, very early on, for example, we find that things like drawings of North American squashes, paintings of North American squashes, show up in the royal herbariums and other areas like that in Europe. So they're actually bringing these crops over And, of course, they also helped us with our smoking habit.
They did, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
When we think, Bill, of those early people, give us a sense, if you can, how, in essence, they still touch our lives today, or do they?
Well, anybody who has a corn cob, with their brat in the summer is being impacted by Native American society right there.
It's a pretty good one. There's nothing like sweet Michigan corn around August.
That's
is there?
Exactly right. Although they didn't have sweet corn, it was a different variety. But corn is a North American crop. Squashes were domesticated in Mesoamerica and made their way up into the Great Lakes. Were transmitted up here and became a part of the economy up here. So, these are the food crops are exceptionally important contributions to the world economy, not just European economy.
Well, it really is good to stop and think about the sense of context and perspective and who was here long, long, long before what we consider, not too long ago. So the colonial era is really a very new compared to the ancient history in Michigan.
Oh, that's exactly right. And in fact, several months ago, I had an exhibit that one of my colleagues at the Smithsonian, Maria Raviel, and I put together with a science curator here, Julie Fick, and we titled it "Michigan's First Farmers." And what it was designed to do was to present to the public the notion that it wasn't just Europeans coming over here and farming that was the first farming, that people were over here producing lots of different kinds of crops for 1,000 years or more before Europeans ever set foot in the Great Lakes.
Bill Lovis, professor and curator of anthropology at Michigan State University. Thanks for taking time to talk with us, Bill.
My pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.